Welcome to the Action Factor podcast. My name is Michael Dawson, and we are about to summarize the final part of our short audio course, NLP in Residential Youth Work. By now, you should be aware that the audio course is delivered in commutable size chunks that can be listened to on the bus and practiced at work. It isn't designed to make you an expert, but to merely explore some of the NLP magic and how it might be adapted for residential youth workers like you. Why does that matter? Well, it matters to me because I developed a universal framework for residential youth workers that adopts and adapts from the very best change therapies and strategies ever designed. And of course, NLP is one of those disciplines. And so my interest in sharing this training was to kind of rummage around in the NLP toolbox and see if there's anything that we could use. This little NLP soiree is a standalone audio course that's delivered weekly and free. So you may wish to rewind to part one and absorb the course as it was laid out in the 10 parts. And I hope those of you who've chosen to do so have found great value from it. I'm recording this in November 23 for broadcast in early 2024, but the response so far has been sensational, and I thank you so much. And in case I need to say it, my team training course entitled Solutions Toolkit is likely available by now. It isn't at the moment, but it soon will be. And there are numerous free downloads and a free version of that full team training available on my website at theactionfactory.com, certainly at the time of recording this. However, for now, let's get back to the NLP stuff. This session is a way of looking back over the last 10 weeks and seeing what the key takeaways were. Could we adopt and adapt some of this stuff, and in what ways? So I'll summarize today's session on a PDF download as usual. And also as usual, there's no signing up. It's just a simple click. You'll find it around about this episode somewhere. Just going back in time, certainly for me anyway, we spoke about the origins of NLP, how Richard Bandler and John Grinder decided to model the very best change therapists and kind of reverse engineer why and how they were so good. And the upshot of that was NLP, which is, of course, neuro-linguistic programming. It's a way of decoding the subliminal human behavior of the very, very best. Why would any of this matter to you as a residential youth worker? Well, I think it does, because at its core, the role of a resi worker is in fact to influence and change behavior in a positive way for those we care for. In fact, you remember that in session one, I explained my concept of this problem paramedic, or the first responder in a crisis. In your role as a youth worker, you are often first on the scene. And from a mental health point of view, when a young person is hit by crisis, the last thing they need is a professional therapist. Just as the accident victim would prefer a paramedic over a surgeon. Given this analogy, then we can be pretty convinced that we, as the residential youth workers, i.e. we as the problem paramedics, will go to change therapy for our tools, just as a medical paramedic will go to a hospital for his tools. And so, here we are. Now, although my full training offers what I call the toolkit, we're here for a different reason over the last 10 weeks, to simply go and have a rummage around in the NLP toolbox and see what can be useful. Because those of you enrolled on the Solutions Toolkit team training already know that this course does not end with me walking away. It's ever evolving and it's ever improving. What have we gained from the last 10 weeks? And I always say that I do these podcasts to help me clarify my own thoughts, and it does a great job of doing that. So what have I gained? You know, what sort of insights? We delved into the world of body language, a language that I believe we are all fluent in, and yet we find it difficult to consciously manipulate. And we spoke about how NLP sees these communication modalities such as, you know, mirroring, pacing, leading. Now, I hope you remembered my smile technique, in which I have the absolute audacity to make some improvements to NLP, and something I've got no right to do. In fact, my smile technique does provide a simpler framework for empathy and communication. It's a much better way of working for those who aren't employed by the CIA or the FBI, as most of us are not. I suggested in that section that we forget these traditional conscious awareness ideas, and my suggestion was to do the exact opposite and instead simply use something I call smile, which I find sidesteps the conscious idea. And instead, the smile strategy enables us to instead genuinely focus on the person. And the rest, in body language terms, is easy, because once we have curiosity about a person, our mirroring and pacing and everything else will automatically fall into place. Now, you can grab the download and look into this a little bit more. There's a download around here somewhere. But briefly, smile is service. That is the environment and standard of service and respect and rules that your service provides. The next one was M for modalities, which was the different communication methods, tone, pace, attention. I is for interest. Really, really important, being a curious inquirer about the other person's life, regardless of how different it is to you. L was for language. That is using words and phrases that resonate with the client themselves. E is for empathy, demonstrating humility and understanding towards the client's experiences. If you find that interesting, it's available on the download document. Next, we spoke about the NLP communication model in residential youth work. Now, this model is based on the premise that we process information using sensory systems such as visual, auditory, and kinesthetic, and there are more. Recognizing these systems in ourselves and others enhances the communication effectiveness. For example, visual is someone who processes information primarily through sight, and they'd say things like, I can see a bright future, indicating very visual thinking. Auditory might be focused on sound and hearing. Statements like, I hear what you say, it reflects that kind of auditory idea. And of course, kinesthetic involves feelings and touch. It doesn't always have to be physical touch, but feelings. Expressions like, I feel overwhelmed, are kind of kinesthetic. The idea was that we could identify these communication styles, pay attention to the language used by individuals. Their choice of words often indicates the dominant sensory system. A young person saying, I can't picture how I'm going to do this, is likely using a visual system. So what does that mean to us as residential workers? Well, by adapting the sensory preferences of young people, we can make communication more effective and reliable. For example, using kinesthetic language with someone who expresses themselves in feelings can create a better communication. Then we talked about setting goals for individuals and who may be highly motivated, or in a lot of instances, it create a better connection with the young people. If you want to express this better in yourself, use your own. Mine's definitely visual. I'm constantly talking about how I can see this and I can see that and that kind of thing. And when I was writing that episode and trying to find different responses, they felt unnatural to me. Feels unnatural to me to not talk in a visual sense. These aren't hard and fast. We know all that. But to go deep and go back to that episode. Then we spoke about setting goals for individuals who may be highly motivated, or in a lot of instances in youth work, we are asked to build goals and plans for others. And we use the basis of this SMART method, which is always a good and understandable start. S for specific, actual, real goals. M is for measurable, as we used to say in sales, can I put it in a wheelbarrow? A is for achievable, ensuring that the goals are realistic and yet challenging. R is for relevant to the lives of your client, not you. T is for time bound. Goals need a deadline. When are we going to do it? When are we going to check it along the way? I added into that the idea of ears, being a fan of the goal, being the biggest fan of the goal that the young person has told you about. Elicit it in the conversation, amplify it in the conversation, repeat and start again. And this was all combined with one of the 8 laws of client interaction from my full toolkit course, that is a belief that everyone has the resources to make change. Everyone has the resources to make change. Then we spoke about limiting beliefs. We all have them, and so do our clients. Where they come from and how they're formed, even to the extent that we are part of our clients' limiting beliefs sometimes, because we're a key part of their life, young life, and development. And in this section, we yet again realize the massive importance of relationships and trust. I'll once again refer you to the research I cite in the Big Four download. Go to the website, go to start here and get that, because it's a fascinating statement of fact. Something us therapists, talk therapists, like me, don't like talking about. Who wants to read that they're not as good as they think they are? However, you can be the judge of that. But relationship and trust are huge. And we talked about subtle visualization techniques, becoming the biggest fan of their dreams and using ears, elicit, amplify, repeat to deepen these visualization and make them more impactful. And next we spoke about peer pressure, not just the peer pressure of our young people, but in a second-hand kind of way, our own peer pressure. I mentioned research that shows how powerful peer pressure can be in influencing our decisions. And the research also proved a strong dissenting voice in a minority can also swing opinion. Your decisions as residential youth workers have implications. Those decisions are made in groups and in meetings. So before we even enter into this huge teenager chemistry set with all the external pressures, limiting beliefs and the peer pressure, we can be encouraging guardians of those belief systems to build courage, to build resistance way before any crisis hits. And in saying that, I absolutely have to say that in my solutions toolkit course, we call you as the residential youth workers, the problem paramedics. And you have to agree that you are indeed much, much more than this. My whole philosophy is built around, you know, you being there before, during and after crisis. So in fact, how they handle a crisis when it comes might be part of the work you did a year ago, 2 years ago. There we go. That is a quick skim through some of the highlights. And as I say them out loud, I'm really proud of what we've done over the last 10 weeks in looking at NLP in residential youth work. I think what we've managed to do is avoid going deep into expectation of you becoming some kind of NLP master and just skim across the service and find some really, really good little techniques of awareness that we can use. I think it's been really, really useful. So that's that, as we say. And I have, as usual, created a digital download for you that summarizes the main points of this episode. I'm recording in November, so it's, I don't know, it could be early February by the time this goes out, early February 2024. So what's next? Well, it's too early to say yet, but I think it was David Bowie who said, I don't know where I'm going, but it's going to be interesting. So I'm recording this in November. We're going to have some great content to follow on, so please stay subscribe, those of you who have. If you haven't, please stay listening. I'm going to be back next week, as usual, with more content that is designed to enhance your work as a youth worker. Remember, you've got the greatest job in the world. As always, I'll suggest that if you came this far, you gain something from what I produced. And if this is the case, then remember, the whole course is free, but a like or a subscribe is a really nice way to say thanks and to whisper to the internet that your colleagues might also like it too. As always, I can promise that regardless, I'll be back next week with another Action Factory podcast. And like you, I can't wait to find out what it's about. So I want to thank you so much for being there. I'm going to see you next time. My name has been Michael Dawson, and this has been the Action Factory Podcast, NLP in Residential Youth Work. Bye for now. See you next time.